Good evening, and in a packed programme tonight, as they say, we look at all things Ipswich Town, including the all-too-newsworthy David Norris incident. We'll take a rare look at how our neighbours down the road are doing, and by that I don't mean the three-headed yellow weirdness stuff. I mean Ipswich Wanderers. And to help us in this cause, we are joined today by Ipswich Wanderers manager Steve Buckle.
Good evening, how are you?
Joining Steve, we welcome back Ipswich residents' favourite bird of prey, the vulture.
Good evening, punters.
And we also welcome back the vulture's best friend and probably his personal trainer, Phil Pritchard.
If you've seen the state of the vulture, it's not much of an accolade.
No, as long as you keep him in a cage, that's the main thing.
Keep him away from women, I think, was the headline, wasn't it?
We were supposed to have the old Git, but for some reason he's not here.
I've locked him up. Yeah. For legal reasons, I've locked him up.
And a very sensible thing to do, if I must say so. Yeah, I'll start with you, Steve, because as I said, you wouldn't have got a word in if had the old Git been here, but as he's not, you may well get a word in. Wanderers first, how are they doing at the moment? Because they've picked up a bit, haven't they, recently?
We're not doing too bad the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks. We've lost one in the last 5, I think. Beginning of the season, it was very difficult. Lots of young boys, but, you know, we're getting them around now and they're playing all right.
Is that the main thing? Because I know you had a very dodgy start, didn't you? Was it mainly because you're trying to get young kids through and stuff?
Well, really, once we got relegated last year, we've had, 9, 10 new players come in, so it's a whole new side, really. So, you know, it's always going to take 10, 11 games, and hopefully we've picked up enough now to get a consistency going.
So we've got 2 Jim McGiltons in Ipswich at the moment, then. Yeah. Someone else wrestling with a big squad and trying to get new players.
Start slowly turning, certainly turning the corner. I mean, I think I read, it might have been a quote from yourself, Steve, in the Evening Star, saying that there's quite a lot of decent non-league players in the Ipswich area, but none of them seem to play in the town. They all seem to go further afield. I mean, I know through friends and family of quite a number of not decent non-league players over the last 5 years who have played in places like Canvey, Stevenage, Cambridge, Leiston, even Bury, Sudbury.
Yeah,
is that fair?
The bit in the paper was with Elvin was very journalistic. Some of it might have been read wrong from what I put, but all I really wanted to put across was the fact I was disappointed in the fact that lots of Ipswich-based players have to go out of the town and there isn't the facilities in the town to accommodate them, because I think we should really have a good side in the Ipswich area.
Yeah, I mean, an area like Cambridge can support Cambridge United, Histon and Cambridge City in the Conference South, then you'd think a town the size of Ipswich as well as Ipswich Town, there'd be room for a very decent top-end non-league side.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to money, really. There's a lot of money floating around in non-league football, rightly or wrongly. I mean, I don't disagree with it, and if they're good enough, they can go and get it. It's just unfortunate the way I read that. I was envious of Leiston. I'm not envious of Leiston at all. I wish them all the best and all the success in the world, because lots of them young players who they've got there, I sort of managed as a youth team manager, and, you know, that's great just to see them going on and doing...
Doing well with themselves. As people was, I guess it's character building for them. I mean, the run they've been on in the FA Cup, isn't it something like 8 or 9 games they had to get through just to get to this stage?
Oh, yes, hard work. I mean, I'd done it when I was a player and we got through to the 4th qualifying round, so, you know, I know how hard work it is. That's good. I'm really pleased for them.
Goal celebrations, as we're going to come to that eventually. Have you witnessed any bizarre goal celebrations in your game? You must have done it.
Well, we've got a few Witten boys in our team who have just joined, and they've got their own goal celebration when they score, so that's quite amusing, really.
Do you want to elucidate?
Well, they all tend to get in a little group and start dancing around, and, you know, that's quite what they're up to, I don't know, really, but...
On the rare occasions I used to score goals, I used to celebrate them by adopting the Bruce Forsyth thinker pose. That's just my unique
goal celebration. The rest of us used to fall about in shock, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. But apparently that gave great offence to Jimmy Tarbuck when I did that, so I had to knock it on the head.
Less. Go on. No, I was going to ask you about the David Norris incident, because that's going to be brought up.
We're going to come to that anyway. Just talking about goal celebrations, I remember an amusing one at Watford a couple of years back. I think it was the FA Cup game where Dan Harding hit the bar and I think it was Danny Haynes or Jamie Peters followed it in.
Oh, God, yes.
The two of them were disco dancing away in front of the away stand. And they're doing it for a full 10 or 15 seconds before all the fans stopped and said, play the game, the referee's disallowed it, play on.
Yeah.
And
Watford were up the other end.
Yeah, Watford were up the other end on the attack and they had to go running back to their positions with their tails bit.
That was great, wasn't it? I remember that. That was up the north stand, wasn't it?
So, Yeah, so David Norris.
Yeah. I've got an email here, actually. It's in three bits, so it does mention the Norris thing, so I might as well read it out. This is from James Cummins. Amidst the furore of Mr. Norris being this week's version of Russell Brand / Jonathan Ross / Jeremy Clarkson / anyone else, and the excellent news regarding the return of yet another prodigal son in Darren Ambrose, and an even more momentous thing happened this week. For the first time, Jim picked an unchanged team. Given this rare occurrence, do the distinguished rather than esteemed members of the panel think that this is the start of our push for promotion? So do you want to start with the Norris thing and then talk about the Ambrose thing and then talk about the push for promotion? There you go.
I think something has been blown out of all proportion, really. I mean, first of all, we've got to say that I have no doubt in my mind that there is no way David Norris set out to offend anyone.
No.
And the fact is that he's apologised for it, he's written an apology. He's now going to go and see him in person, I believe. I think all he's been guilty of is being guilty of being insensitive and thoughtless and having a bit stupid brain power of a cabbage. But you know, he's not gone out to offend deliberately, and I think the club were placed in a little bit of a no-win situation because. If they don't find him, they say, well, the club are condoning what Norris has done. And if they do find him, that people have said, oh, it's not, they haven't done enough. So
I think it's been a reaction to the media. I mean, when I saw the goal on ITV's Championship programme on Sunday, and he had his arms sort of raised up like a cross, I thought, what's he making the West Ham sign for? Didn't even occur to me he was doing any kind of a handcuff gesture.
No.
Then Monday morning, I had breakfast TV on getting ready for work, and just happened to catch it out of the corner of my eye. It was all over the papers. I thought, that's a bit strange. Then it clicked why there was a big kerfuffle about it all. But no, I think you're absolutely right. He certainly didn't go out to offend anyone, and he's obviously not condoning drink driving. No one's going to do that in their right mind. I mean, he came out and said, I think it was about a week or so ago, to the East Anglian, that Luke McCormick is his friend, obviously, from his Plymouth days, and he's continued to be his friend. Yes, he's done a very stupid thing and he's rightly paying for it. So that sentence alone, he's done a stupid thing and he's rightly paying for it, is a condemnation of any kind of drink driving activity and what Luke's done. And Luke's paying for it. He's in the clink, and he's going to be there for a fair few days and
a fair few years.
And yeah, I mean, so yes, he's done a very stupid thing and he is paying the price, as David Norris says, and David is being a friend to him, and he says he's going to go and visit him in prison. You can't knock anyone for that, for being a bit supportive of a friend who's done a silly thing.
I think Steve might be able to back me up here, because he's probably scored a few more goals than I have in my career, but when you score a goal, I don't know if it's just me, but when you score a goal, your head goes a little bit and you start doing stupid things, and that's what you do. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he just kind of didn't think it through.
Yeah.
But in the heat of scoring a goal, he got a celebration, right, support my friend. And
yeah, no, I think that's one of the biggest regrets he'll ever do now. And I think the football club have done all they can do. Mm. They've obviously had the PFA onto them about doing stuff to him, and they find him, I think it was 24,000, was it?
Yeah, 2 weeks' wages, I think, came to about that amount.
Yeah, I just hope that money sort of goes to a worthwhile cause.
Yeah, and I think they said they're going to donate an equivalent fee to a charity, and I think I read in the Star or on the Star's website that David Norris is going to be like one of the spearheads of their anti-drink driving campaign, well, from now on in, I guess, till Christmas, which, again, is the right thing for him to do, to be able to try and make amends.
Yeah, I mean, I did hear someone on Talk Sport, I was listening to that, and somebody wanted him sacked and all that, and I'm thinking, well, you know, if they sack him, the only problem is they're going to go and play for someone else, so you're going to get the same.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's a massive overreaction. I mean, Luke McCormick's obviously lost his contract with Plymouth, as he was always going to do, and Lee Hughes also, when he got put inside for... who was he playing for at the time? Was it Coventry? West Brom? West Brom.
I think you're right, West Brom,
and he's now playing again for Oldham. I mean, if they were two footballers who were guilty of... I think it was either... certainly what drink was involved in one of their cases, and people dying and death... in the other.
Yeah.
So and they've done their time. They got sacked by their clubs. But if you look at every footballer who's been done for drink driving over the years, that's quite a lengthy list. You potentially then looking at sacking. I mean, David Norris didn't drink and drive, and he's come out and he's condemned it in every way, shape or form. I mean, if you take the example of the guy who plays for Norwich, is it Matty Patterson who got done for it six months or so ago? The rumours was he was found at the training ground, absolutely out of his head from the night before,
with nothing on, and
say the story goes, I stand to be corrected, insert legal
legal department
legal department says, but the story goes that he was staying at a hotel near Norwich, and he woke up absolutely hammered still from the night before, got in his car, went to training in a rush because he was terrified he was going to be late for training, completely forgetting in his drunken state that training had been cancelled that day. He had a day off. which is absolutely true. I've got it on fairly good authority. I've got some contacts through work sort of in the Norfolk area, and apparently the hotel saw him getting in his car and driving off to training, rang the police and said and sort of tipped them off. So they turn up to the training ground and he gets arrested and so on and so forth. But apparently now, and again, I don't know how much truth is in this, but again, the rumour is that Norwich have stopped using that hotel because they grassed up one of their players.
Yeah. So, well, that's not on, is it?
Well, no, you kind of think, if David Norris has been seen to be condoning drink driving, then you guess you could say that Norwich are implicit in that as well. I don't know the full facts on that, so I certainly stand to be corrected, but that's the rumour I've heard.
So how old is Luke McCormack as a manager?
23, I think, was 23.
Oh, right, so he probably still have a tiny bit of game left.
He's gone into 7 years, hasn't he? By the time he'll probably get out in 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So he's still got a career.
He'll be out in 3 and a half.
Yeah.
And in fairness to Lee Hughes, he's served his time and he's now playing for Oldham. He's locking the goals in. Does that then imply that every one of his teammates and the management staff and all the supporters of Oldham, every time they cheer a goal of Lee Hughes, condoning it? It's a can of worms. If you want to take it to the nth degree, you can stigmatise a whole raft of people who really aren't that connected to the situation.
I just wish that the media would draw a line under it like everyone else has and move on and not rake it up and just not rake over the old coals and just let us all get on with our lives again.
Yeah. Right. Do you want to move on to the Ambrose thing? That's a bit of good news, isn't it? But for most people.
I'll tell you a little story.
Yeah, go on.
we've got 14 minutes left in the show.
That'll be time then, please.
Of all the people that left while the town were in administration, the one that I thought we were going to regret the most was Darren Ambrose. I thought he was the best player that actually left the club in that period. I mean, you know, and he's up against some stiff competition. There were some good players that left. I mean, you've just got to look at Matt Holland, Ryderson, the list goes on. But of all those, the one that I really, really felt about was Ambrose. And I'm actually delighted to see him back.
Although he's not actually done it at Charlton. They're not that happy with him, were they?
No, serves him right for leaving us.
Yeah. Well, again, it goes back to what the Vulture was saying. I can remember going to... Didn't the reserves win their league in 2002?
Yeah, I think so.
And we had like something like 15,000 crowd for their last game. They had to win to secure the title. I think it was the same time as the first team.
That was the youth team, you mean, don't it? Don't you mean the youth team?
No, the reserves won their league as well, because I think they had they might have had a two-legged playoff. And first leg was at Newcastle.
That's where we missed Phil, isn't it?
And anyway, it was reserves, because I remember thinking, well, that wing is pretty good. And I sort of looked at the team sheet, and it was Darren Ambrose. And the next season, he was in the first team, and it was the season after relegation. And then he was sold the following January. And I think Darren Ambrose has actually said in an interview this week he felt he had unfinished business with Ipswich. And he was certainly out of all the ones that had to be sold at that time, he was one that we never got the best out of, because he was still so young. He'd only made a few dozen appearances for us at the most, and suddenly he was gone. I mean, at least with your Marcus Stewarts and your Royces and your Magiltons and your Hollands and your, all the other players of that era who kind of moved on, we did get
a few
years out of them, and they rightly inputted into a pretty special time in the recent history. But no, like you say, Darren Ambrose, you really thought was going to go on to be something pretty major.
Mm. He was a victim, really, of circumstances. He obviously had to be sold when he was at Ipswich, but then he went to Newcastle, and then, obviously, with all the changes of managers which they've had, I mean, I think Bobby Robson took him up to Newcastle.
Yeah, right.
I mean, then once Bobby Robson loved him, and somebody else comes in and doesn't like him, then you know, you tend to forget about the guy. Yeah. But he's a good player.
Yeah, but he's a classic example of someone, not through any fault of his own, a young player leaving a club like Ipswich, who's giving him a break in the first team, and he's getting experience and developing his game in the first team, playing in front of decent crowds. You move to a big club and you just get swallowed up by the dozens and dozens of players that they have on their books, and they're in danger of not doing much there and then moving back down a level and going backwards. And I think he's possibly a classic example of that. So, yeah, but then you look at Darren Bent. I mean, he stuck around a bit longer, had a couple of good seasons with us, went to Charlton, was top scorer. Was he top scorer or top English scorer in the Premier League one season? At Tottenham, struggled possibly a bit last season, but I think he's already on 11 or 12 goals this season, if you include his European goal. So he seems to be building himself up from strength to strength.
So is it, Pavs and Lee said, is it 120 grand, 250 grand we pay for him at Christmas if we take him on? I think that's what we saw.
I think so.
Something like that, which is actually a bargain if you do get him, and if he does before.
I've heard that fee mentioned, but I'm not sure if that's the loan fee we've paid Charlton just for 2 months, which seems to be a lot for 2 months, or if that's the fee that we've agreed for Charlton for a permanent deal from January, and in which case it is an absolute steal.
It is, as long as he performs, of course.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because I think Charlton were paying him behind the striker, main striker, weren't they, a lot of the time? Because we had him purely as a winger, didn't we?
Yeah.
On both sides.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his look at him on Football Manager, he's listed as an attacking midfielder right across the line from left to right and in the middle. So he can play in any one of those attacking positions. And I think, the point's been made that we've got literally thousands of midfielders now, but no one really on the left, and it's something we've been saying all season.
Even though Alan, he's right-footed, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but he seems to play.
But he does play well on the left.
Tirico, there's another one who played on the left and was very much right-footed. Whereas Alan Quinn, you always kind of think he's doing okay, but he's filling in and doing a job rather than lending any kind of expertise to the position.
Royster was the same as well, wasn't he? Wasn't he right-footed?
Royster was right-footed.
Yeah, and he played on the left. Yeah.
No, I think he was actually genuinely two-footed, Martin Royster, as I remember. He was genuinely two-footed, as in he could kick with both feet before anyone emailed him saying,
"Yeah, he had 2 feet."
I've got 2 feet. Norfolk friends might not.
From Dan, Owen Garvin, the best midfielder outside the Premiership. Do you guys agree? And do you think he'll still be here after Christmas?
Yes.
There we are. There we go.
Do you want to contribute, Steve? I'm sure you do keep an eye on him.
He's a good player. Whether he'll still be here after Christmas is obviously down to the finances of Ipswich at the end of the day, because if an offer comes in that they can't refuse, then
that's just thinking of putting a bid in, then
I used to. Well, yeah,
it won't be bad, would it?
I just feel that there's still a business. Football is a big business, if the right offer comes in, then they're gonna accept it.
That's right. Because a lot of people saying, we're quite solvent now, we don't need to sell. But if someone rightly, as you say, comes in with a big bid, then he's going to go, isn't he?
Yeah. I think that's what Mijailton said in the summer. Marcus Evans has come in and given us a big cash input, but everyone at any club has got their price. If someone comes in and bids 20 million for Owen Garvin, you'd be daft not to take it. But it would take, it's not going to be 20 million, but it would take a very high bid, I think, for the club to consider letting him go. And I think I don't think it's a coincidence that since he's become a bit more regular in the side, the last half a dozen games we've started to show a bit of an upturn in form. He was beaten and out at the start of the season, and I've rated him as our best midfielder for a while now, and I think we should be building that midfield around him.
Definitely. Agree.
Long may it continue, and the partnership he's built up with Szymielkowski is really bearing fruit.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've stuck with him, haven't they? I mean, he had a few problems last year, did he not? Have big illness last year and homesickness and... if they can keep hold of him, they'll do well.
I mean, he's another one, I guess, who could fall down that same slippery slope as Darren Ambrose. If he goes to a big club too early, gets swallowed up by the massive squads that these Premier League sides have, and he'd be better off building. I mean, say things go as we hope this season, or even next, I guess, and we get promoted, he'll still be a key part of our side, learn the Premiership with Ipswich, and then in a year or two's time, if he's still cutting the mustard, as it were, as he'd be an established Premiership player, then just another promising youngster from the Coca-Cola Championship.
I think he's a great player. From the bitch.
You emailed
presumably him. Presumably talking. I know she is. Presumably talking about Ambrose. Will he be the fox in the box like Jeffers was? Well, he won't really, will he? He's not that sort of player. No, I still think we need a fox in the box, as Phil always used to call it.
He'll be the man uncutting the chicken wire to let the fox in.
Yeah, he'll be trying to let the fox run in. Yeah, what else? Right, do you want to change the subject a tiny bit? This is to this is where Steve would do well. It's ticket prices. great at Wanderers, isn't it? It costs you nothing, and you can drink.
And
watch the game and eat all at the same time. Whereas you can't.
I struggle to do that at home.
And if I ask nicely, could I get a game?
Right, this is from Tig O'Regan from Nottingham. He goes under the name of Delia's Plums, apparently, on Those Were the Days. Thanks for an excellent show. As a Town fan living in Nottingham, it's great to get an independent local perspective on all things Town. I've just bought a ticket, just one as I have no friends, for the Birmingham away match at an excellent £15. That is good, actually.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I saw our limp performance at Forest for a very reasonable £20. I was there, yes, that was reasonable. Out of interest, I thought I'd see what we're charging our visitors, and I see Derby fans will have to pay an extraordinary £28 down here for the privilege of watching us thrash them. Surely there should be some parity in the Championship for away pricing. What say you guys?
I think it's difficult to implement because every club has got its economic structure and the ticket prices, I guess, are based around that. I mean, I know the Norwich tickets are £31.
£31, that's
which
yeah.
is
crazy.
Unbelievable.
Doncaster is 20.
See that
20
shower
pop.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
And I think QPR are trying to charge, get away with charging £40, but I think the football
they
league
stopped
kind
them.
Of
yeah.
told them no. Charlton, I think, are £30-something as well. I remember everyone complaining about that. So, I mean, you can. I don't think the league are in it, or the FA or anywhere in any position to be able to say all away fans must be charged this price. I think the rule is they must be charged the same as what a home fan would for an equivalent block. So the Ipswich fans who are going to Norwich are paying £31 for a ticket. A Norwich fan in an equivalent block at the other end of the stand, say level with the edge of the penalty area, would also be charged that same price. I think one thing that some clubs do, which I don't particularly agree with, is they categorise their games A, B and
yeah,
C
yeah.
and then the A team, so if we were in the Premier League for example, it'd be your Arsenal's, Man U's and so on, yeah. and your C teams would be on there, your Fulham's and your Wigan's, and you yeah. get charged a different price accordingly, which you can kind of see why they want to do that for the casual fans who pick and choose their games. But the poor old away fan who go, say you're an away fan of Manchester United, you're going to get top dollar every single time you go to an away match. But if you're a fan of Wigan, you're still your average working class man, so to speak, going to work and earning a crust, and you're getting potentially the cheaper rate, which
I
is a bit
that
harsh.
I thought was only for home supporters. They
no, I think they do it for away fans because the away fan has to pay the equivalent price the home fan would. So by definition, your away fan's going to be paying the same
until
price.
Until you get the FA come up with a structure where there is a price across the board, then like you say, different clubs with their different finances are going to.
Yeah,
going to charge what they please, and that's.
Yeah.
But again, you can always come to Wanderers for a fiver, home or away.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I think more people will, because if they keep charging ridiculous prices at away games and things, it's easier to come down to Wanderers.
I reckon there's a few people been driven in on non-league football because of the cost of watching in the league.
Yeah, it's not too bad, you know, like say £5, they can drink with the side of the pitch and. You know, plastic cups. And you can eat and do what you like, you know, throw abuse at people and all for a fiver. You can't beat it.
I went to the Wanderers game when they played. That's the ones, the international
Oh, yes,
who came over.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed the afternoon.
No,
it was good. And, I think the point the Vulture makes about people drifting away to the non-league game, I mean, if I can remember when 20 years ago when I started going, it was £3.50 to get into Churchman's and standing on a crate. I mean, to average 10, 12, 13-year-old, they're getting charged £20-odd or whatever it is for a children's ticket. I know there's some areas where it's £3 a child and all the rest of it. If your birthday's on a Wednesday and it's the full moon in the month of August or whatever it is, but I think. Yeah, I mean, your average kid who used to go along for a £3.50 in Churchman's 20 years ago, it's a different ball game now with the prices.
Well, David James, who came on, I think he was on the show last week, the England goalkeeper, I think he went to the Wigan game last night at Arsenal and just paid a tenner.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, some of the big clubs...
That's in the Emirates, that's not bad, is it?
Yeah, some of the big clubs, I think, do that for like their...
Arsenal done that last year.
For their games.
Yeah,
but I remember reading on the QPR... webpage around the time we played them, I had a quick scan through their webpage and they played Manchester United last night, and Manchester United put it to QPR to make the game, I don't know, £10, £15, something like that, a ticket, but because it's a cup game and the away side get quite a significantly higher proportion of the takings, they said, oh no, we want to charge everyone full whack so we can make a few extra quid out of it. So the QPR fans sort of got wind of this and were pretty
I'm not surprised.
Peed off. Yeah. It was their club's decision not to have had the cheaper prices, whereas Manchester United were quite happy to do it.
Yeah. The old white-haired Napoleon, that is Bernie Eccleston, got his claws into that one, hasn't he? And Flavio Briatore, Ferrari prancing pony man.
And the other thing as well, before the Premier League was founded, that I think I'm right in saying that the league's receipts were shared out equally between all the clubs. So if Manchester United got 60,000 people, the likes of Rochdale down the road would get a benefit of that. But obviously now it's Premiership's all in-house. It's not like the little clubs are getting any benefit and the big sides charging what they like and getting a 60,000-70,000 crowd.
Yeah, you're right.
So again, more money, just money going to money, isn't it? Rather than finding its way equally along
at the moment. That's because capitalism is a global evil that we should smash from within. Oh, sorry, the Marxist in me has come out. I do apologise, listeners, I'm not really a communist.
You spent too much time in Russia, didn't you?
Graham has a wry smile on his face.
It will be interesting to see what happens because of this credit crunch, whether people just say, well, no, enough's enough. Yeah. You know, and it will benefit teams like Wanderers and you know.
Well, we hope so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we look forward to a few more through the gate.
Yeah.
Thought the old gitter just popped in.
I thought it was the old gitter. He'll walk in at 29 minutes past.
He's expecting many minutes.
It's shackled. You don't think David Norris was secretly doing a sign to the old git, knowing that we've chained him up for tonight, and make sure he doesn't do anything controversial.
So here's a question then, going back to the David Norris subject. I think the club came out today and said they're undecided whether he's going to be in the squad or not for Saturday. I mean, the more if they don't put him in the squad, surely it's just prolonging the agony in the debate. Just draw a line under it, get him back in the side, and make him available for selection should Jim choose to play him. And on current form, there's no reason why not.
And
say he misses this game, then there'll be question marks over the next game. Is he going to play? Is he going to be the next one? And just get on and.
Yeah. Just move on. Draw a line under it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously, you should
play everyone's
side,
to be honest.
Yeah.
Joey Barton was the same thing, wasn't it?
So yeah, exactly. How many second chances does he want?
Eventually, he's got to play again, and he's taken the stick. But
I mean, when Cantona jumped into the crowd and sorted that fan out, it was a big. And he was banned for ever and a day, and he finally came back. There was such a big build up to it. All right, it's Eric Cantona, it's Manchester United. But, Cinder, like you say, there's going to be a first game. And the more he's out of the side, the harder it gets. Yeah,
the harder it gets.
Yeah, and the more an issue it's suddenly becoming, which just adding fuel to the frenzy, as it were.
Are you venturing up to the keep, mate, Mr. Blackburn?
I'm not actually.
You're not.
No. Well, I was going. We were going up because my brother lives in Beverley, which is just down the road.
Does she know?
My woman's got to play hockey, so we were going to go up the weekend. So now, you know, so watch it on the telly. If it wasn't on the telly, maybe it would have made a lot of difference. So I'm afraid I'm being a real lightweight. It's terrible to admit it, isn't it? Are you going?
I'm going to Foxhall for the Banger World Final actually this weekend. So I'm going to try and avoid the score. So no slide text, please, Vulture. I'll Sky Plus it and watch him when I get in.
Where are Wanderers this weekend, Steve?
Well, we're at home to Marchtown United.
Anybody
fancies a Saturday afternoon?
I was going to say we can go watch Wanderers then the Donny game's 5:15.
Yeah.
And then
you
can go to the Stockdale, wherever it is, as well. You can have three sports.
Okay.
You go to Wanderers, down to the pub to watch the football, and then go.
Go off there. I've always wondered about Marchtown United. Is that not two surnames in one?
Yeah.
Town and United.
That's like Town Rangers.
Yeah, they're another one.
They've got two names.
Yeah, strange, really.
There's some funny football team.
There were some funny names on the
up there anyway.
Yeah. There were funny names on the FA Cup last week. Anyway, we've got to go. I'm afraid we're actually a minute over. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Is that old young Martin again?
He's gone.
Oh well, we'll have to hurry him back. Yeah. Yes. Thanks everyone for listening in. Thanks for all your emails. Thanks, of course, to Steve. Thanks to the Vulture. Martin's waving at me. Hello, Martin. Do you want to come and talk?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, you can carry on talking for a minute or two if you like.
Can you?
Yeah.
Right.
Go on.
That's very nice of you.
Eat into my show yet again.
No, he never does that.
Eat into your show, perish the fool.
While you're here, do you want to talk about the town and say what you think they're doing?
Okay, what do I think? Well, you can't complain at the results at the moment, can you?
No.
I think we spoke about this last week, and I'm still not convinced by some of the team selections, but, you know, what can you say? If you get any results, I have to keep my mouth shut about it, really. We'll see at the end of the season. I think if we were saying that playoff place would be kind of realistic ambition, minimum ambition for this season with the money we spent. So yeah, obviously any pressure for Jim to go is dissipating now because he's getting the results. But yeah, I'll speak to you later in the season about it. Still not totally convinced.
Wise words, mate.
We'll get you back on the show, Martin, at the end of the season when they've gone up.
I must admit, actually, I thought with this run of games that we've had, the last starting with the Charlton game, we had Charlton at home, QPR at home, Blackpool away, and Doncaster. I thought if we can get 9 points out of 12 out of that run of fixtures, that will keep us heading in the right direction. We're on course for 10 out of 10, assuming we get a win at Doncaster, or 8 if we get a draw. So we're there or thereabouts on that kind of ratio that I was looking at. And if we can maintain that over the season, averaging 2 points a game, that's going to see you right up at the business end of certainly the playoff battle, if not the top two.
Yeah.
So yeah,
you've got a couple of toughies against Derby and Birmingham coming up, especially Birmingham away.
Yeah, they're not going to be easy. I mean, if we can get,
they'll sort things out of it.
Yeah, that'll be, I guess, a test. I mean, Birmingham are not quite the side they were maybe at the start of the season. It's Wolves is the one who seem to be stepping away from everyone.
Yeah,
they were pretty impressive down here, you have to say. They weren't necessarily the most easy on the eye footballing side. They're a typical organised McCarthy salary, but you can't deny that he knows how to set a team out in this division to do well and achieve results.
All our webbed-handed ones down the road beat them 5-2, didn't they?
Every year there's a freak result of some description.
Yeah.
But annoyingly, they have signed Leiter, haven't they, another month, and his last game's against us.
Oh, is it? Oh, bummer.
Yeah. Well, a red card the week before.
Do nice.
Is Stuart Atwell about that game, do you think? We can slip him a...
Absolutely.
Slip him a free share, but... If you red card Leroy later, we'll not complain about you when we have you in charge of our game.
Get him Dursoed or something. Mm. All right, we really do have to go now, so thanks once again to Steve, thanks to the Vulture, thanks to Phil. Until next week, thanks everyone for your emails. Take care, bye-bye.